Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Oh dear, it is the time of the week where we ask somebody to come in and get a little uncomfortable for us to go out and try something and make some sweat and then tell us how it all went. And the burden fell this week to musician and presenter May Kay. Welcome.
Well, I need to start by saying I am not about to do a reading for you, Oliver.
Surrounded by witchcraft readings here. Okay, well, are you a spiritual person? Do you believe in the higher powers, first of all, as we approached you with this challenge?
Yeah, I think I've started to, for sure. I was a big science-y person for a long time, and I think I felt safe rooted in science and facts and these things. And then I think, as life goes on, and maybe probably as you lose some people in your life or things don't go the way you think, you do look to other things to explain life. And I don't think science and facts can always do that.
You studied what in college?
Medicinal chemistry. Oh, yes. Now, I have to say, it was brief. It was brief. Did the white coat was thrown into a bin.
Did you not finish it?
Oh, I barely begun, really. The white coat was thrown in a bin, and I went off on the road on tour with a band.
You know, people who are good at mathematics and science are generally excellent at music.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Everyone I've met in music.
I'd say I'm mediocre across the board, but there's definitely, maybe they have fed into each other.
And I think something to do with the mechanics of music and the writing.
Oh,
of
maybe.
Notes. There might be something in it. Someone sciencey will actually study, but they tend to drop out and do music, so we'll never find out.
We'll never find out. I'm so sorry, everyone.
So you are a scientific, tangible facts person, really.
Yeah.
You don't read your horoscopes.
No, and I think this is something that probably I've come across a few hacks throughout my life, which maybe is what led me to this. I think when I was speaking to someone earlier in the week from your show about the type of thing that was I scared of. Now, I should have told them I was just terrified of being locked in a brewery or something with a load of my friends or something. But instead, I told them that I was cynical, to say the least, about that whole end of what I consider to be people saying they could predict things or they could speak to spirits or people who had passed and things like that. Cynical to the point where it made me annoyed and possibly angry, actually, the concept of.
Right. And particularly because you were bereaved. How many years ago did your dad die?
My dad died about 8 years ago. And I think, like, for me, I just think that this was fairly just on my own bat. I felt like there was room for exploitation in that area, in the idea of speaking to people who had passed and all that. So I think I was being protective of God knows who by being cynical.
Some of them can exploit vulnerable people, but others get something out of tarot card readings because they're not promising connections
exactly
to the other world or whatever. So we sent you to do a nice reading with a tarot card reader, but it was not in person.
No, and that for me again was like, oh, well, how's she going to read me if I'm on Zoom?
Yeah, she'd not have to pass silver through her palm or whatever.
Exactly. And I actually purposefully didn't do any research, by the way, because I wanted to arrive with the cynicism and I wanted to just see what happened. And lovely Hannah O'Neill was on Zoom in a beautiful part of Italy, I think. The sun was shining. I was already softening to her. I was like, damn it, I'm going to like her.
No gloomy
room with veils or orbs or anything like that.
And I didn't know this either. Apparently there's a thing now, people get them done over Zoom all the time.
Apparently.
And Hannah is of Royalty Readings.
Yep.
As in stars.
And anyone who does want an intro to it, she's amazing. So my family who are listening now will not be surprised to hear that I went into something cynical and came out being like, she's my best friend. I'm soft. I have a harsh bark, but I've no bite at all with these things. So
this required you to have tarot cards at your end.
Well, yeah, Oliver, they weren't cheap. I hope I get a few quid back actually from the show.
Oh, yeah,
I have these
cards.
How
much were your tarot cards?
They were 30 quid.
What?
Yeah.
For a pack of cards?
For a pack of cards. But there's
it's the spirit special energy. That's your paying.
It's a special pack of cards.
A tax put on that in budget 2007.
Exactly. I didn't notice anything about tarot cards in it. So Hannah, she had her own cards and would do the reading from her end.
Okay. So you knew absolutely nothing.
I had my cards in front of me because she wanted to go through with me what the cards were and I could see them myself and everything. And again, even at that point, I was like, this is all just a bit. Like, there's a death card and like that'll be about this thing. And there's the one where you need strength and courage and that'll be the other thing.
Is there supposed to be a magical moment when you actually buy the cards?
No one promises a magical moment. I think they say that that it's the energy from them, the more they use the cards, that the energy becomes more powerful. But the big thing with Hannah that I have to say was, I thought she was about to, first of all, tell me if my album was going to be a success or not. And if she said it wasn't going to be a success, I don't know what I would have done. But there was loads of things I had wrong entirely. So she started off by asking me what my background was with it. And I said, it's zero. And to be totally honest, Anna, I'm not convinced of what I've heard
you
of it before.
That, did you?
Yeah, well, I just thought if this is what we're doing for the show, I have to.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, well, I just want to start by saying that, like, and she said it very politely. She was like, you can take whatever you want from it or take nothing from it. I'm not making predictions. We work on providing some guidance and clarity for people. And you can just try and open up to it and see if something resonates with you. And that was a lovely introduction for me.
Very nice. And it doesn't exploit anyone.
No, certainly not.
It doesn't. Okay. Because you can go away and say that was a waste of time or whatever.
No.
If you want to. So what happens then? Did she ask kind of personal questions, does she? Do you give personal answers? And then...
So it's kind of, I depends, because it was my first reading, but she's shuffling the cards and tapping them as we're talking. And she'd asked me, was there a reason? And I said, I have an album coming out and it's a lot. There's a couple of songs in there about my dad. There's songs in there about relationships, about things that I'm really devastated about and things that I'm hopeful about. And I was extremely anxious earlier on in the week about the album and people hearing it for the first time and all those things. So it is one of those things that I really appreciate when you're a bit lost and you can't look for the answers, because there aren't really any. You have to look within, I suppose. And I think what Hannah helped me do was be able to just relax for a minute. I would consider it actually kind of therapy adjacent, is how I found it in the end, really.
Okay.
It, she kind of allowed me to open up a bit. I don't know how much the cards have to do with that. But for example, like... As opposed to the chat, yeah. And as opposed to her, it was necessary for me to be open to all of this for it to work. And I suppose within that then meant I was allowing things to...
You're comfortable and
ruminate.
You weren't frightened of it.
I certainly wasn't frightened. And I tell you what, there's a few frightening cards in it.
Go on.
Death, for example.
Oh, it's horrific, yeah.
Horrific. Big, scary guy
on a horse.
Looks like the horse is about to trample some smaller people. I don't think that's what people say it is.
Medieval horror, sort of, isn't it?
Actually, you could look at it that way.
It doesn't get any worse than that, does it?
No, there's a devil in there somewhere. He's awful looking.
There's a devil.
And he can be depicted as a very
attractive... Yeah. That it's satanic or something.
The devil can be seen to be a very attractive man, which were his parents. He's not attractive in these cards. He's very...
So it's like you've been taken along. You've been taken.
The hermit... I'd like to be the hermit.
That's actually scarier than death. The hermit's a big giant elongated wizard.
Yeah,
with a
in
lamp.
A big long black cloak. And Hannah explained that the cards, you know, about death they're not to be taken so obviously, that can be about letting things go, letting things die, and rebirth, and renewal and all those things.
So you pull three cards, do you?
So she pulls five.
Oh, right.
Five, Oliver. I don't know where you got your research. I think it was five. And then I would think, well, this is where it left me. I want to do it again because I feel like we needed to get into it a bit more. And we had 40 minutes to do this. And I was only just getting over my cynicism by the time we got to the cards.
What cards did you pull? Can you tell us?
I can, because I wrote it down.
Oh,
Queen of Wands.
Queen of Wands.
Yeah, fire one. Now, I felt like if you were doing your own reading, I would just look for this card and pull it out every time. It's all about like being strong and
oh, there you go.
Gorgeous.
There's the album.
And it totally sells loads of records. And it's all about the bravery of stepping into new things and all that stuff.
Right. Perfect.
Yeah, so I think that's the thing. You could take what you want from it if you're... That's where my cynicism lies.
If you're of a positive disposition,
yes,
it can be a very good thing. But of course, if you're the opposite way,
oh,
it might be a bit
death.
Down.
Yeah.
Was it all good then?
No, there was stuff in there really about like needing to let things go and clinging on to things that were draining, and that most certainly resonated with me. But then, maybe these things could resonate with you when they're that broad. But I did find them. I just found it quite actually, I don't know, interesting and relaxing. Is that the type of huge response you wanted?
Do you believe it?
I'm still TBC on that, but
right.
Do I believe in her? Yes. Do I think she's sincere and genuine in what she's doing? Absolutely. Yeah. And I, before I make a decision, I would love to do two more readings with her.
Right.
Do you know?
I'm telling you, the visiting critic, we put people into situations they'd never do and they just get so into it.
Yeah. It's a lovely thing to be asked to do.
Hannah's on Instagram, Realty Readings.
Yeah.
Is today the day when your May K, the album, is out?
The album is out today, yes. I can't believe the day is here. You know when those dates that are always far away and you forget the concept of time and they are just statically in the future.
It just happens then.
Then it just happens. So I'm delighted. I've been talking about this music for ages and it's really a strange thing to talk about music. I prefer to play it. So it's a relief that it's out now.
You've been 20 years in music with different bands. I mentioned some of them earlier on, Fight Like Apes and La Galaxy. This is your first time on your own.
Yeah.
Your own work.
Yeah. I worked on this album with an incredible friend and composer called Ian McFarlane. And during the dreaded lockdown that nobody wants to hear about anymore, I was just sat in front of a microphone with a notepad being like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how this works when you don't have a band. And I heard Ian playing Lap Steel. It was a clip of him playing Lap Steel on Instagram. And it was just completely unlocked something in my heart and my soul and my head. And we wrote the songs together remotely and made it actually 4 years ago, Oliver. I've been sitting on it for 4 years.
You got through all that time. Were you in your mum's spare room or something?
Yes, yeah. And that's actually
added. Did you move in together during the lockdown?
Yeah, now I will say, and I love you, mum, but it didn't last too long, our time together in lockdown. Our home out in our clock is gorgeous. And it was amazing for that first part. Very calm and allowed me to write that stuff. And it made me sing differently because I was trying to whisper a lot of the times so that I wouldn't further grate on each other's nerves.
What grates between mother and daughter? Is it the music and different jobs you have or is it a...
Oh, she's unbelievably supportive of me in anything that I try and do with my full heart. Anyone who has a lovely mum knows exactly what I mean. I can't tell you exactly why we grate on each other. The smallest little things. And also we're the best of friends. So it gets sibling-like, I think, at a certain age.
Your mum is a big noise.
She's a big noise.
This is Cathy Sheridan in the Irish Times. I don't hear her maybe very often. And she's a beautiful voice.
She has a beautiful voice. So she's often on the Irish Times Women's podcast.
Oh, yes.
My friends sometimes text me saying she has a beautiful voice. So
just because I remember as a young journalist, she was around and she'd have kind of an announcer's voice.
Yeah. And she did so many incredible things and she's traveled the whole world, often solo to some really like active war zones as a journalist. And yeah, I've taken huge inspiration from her courage throughout her life. Yeah, I'm so lucky to.
You didn't
have
want
her.
To be a journalist.
No, and that's probably because she didn't encourage me to get into journalism.
Or go into politics because Cathy's dad, your grandfather, was a famous TD in the Midlands.
Joe, the man you know.
Joe Sheridan, independent TD.
Yeah, Westmeath.
20 years I was looking up this morning.
He was, yeah.
Was he alive? Did you know him?
Yes, well, brief. I mean, he was quite young when we died, so I've great strong memories of him, but I was quite young when he died.
All sorts of talents floating around that family.
Yeah.
There's a song on the album called Funerals.
Yep.
And I presume this is to do with your dad.
Yeah. And I think as well, I think a lot of Irish people will know what I talk about when I'm saying that it's not that I look forward to funerals or think they're great. It's that I feel quite comfortable at them because we've been to so many. Like from as young as I can remember, you showed up. If someone died, whether in the local community or a family friend or a friend of a friend, you show up and you pay your respects, whether you're religious or not.
Presence is so important, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not a religious person, but I really appreciate that process that we go through and that we know how to do that. And no matter how you feel, if you might be incredibly socially awkward or you might not be religious or you might not really feel like you're useful in that situation. But we are. Once we show up in those rooms for people and fill the room for them.
Talk
you
about
kind
the
of
weather.
Do your thing. Oh, my
Whatever
God. Talk about the route you took to the church. People love talking about That's the route right. they took to the church. Me and my dad used to go to the graveyard in Donnacumper on Christmas Day. And I always thought it was an amazing way of like honouring people who'd passed because he'd be like, that was Johnny Byrne and I'll tell you a story about him and he was a gas man and the guy beside him, he wasn't as funny now, I'll tell you a different type of story about him.
You got a tour on Christmas
Yeah,
Day.
Every day, every year and now me and my mum go and kind of do something similar and I just really appreciate it and I appreciate so much about him, even though he's not here, he was just so consistently loving a man that I know he's proud of me today and it's great to know that.
Pat Gerrahy, he was the media manager for Munster Rugby.
Yeah.
It was a massive funeral.
It was. Oh God, people showed up for us, and wonderful Dunnacha O'Callaghan spoke at it. He actually, Dunnacha can't help but be quite funny, as we know. So my mum learned a few things. What goes on tour stays on tour. Unfortunately, that bond was broken that day.
It was like a best man speech.
It was like a best man speech. And my mum learned a few things that day, but he wouldn't have had it any other way. So it was really special what they did for him, and I know he would have been really proud.
He would have been so proud of you. Particularly other voices is such a brilliant thing to have in your tower of work.
Oh God, I'm the lucky person to have that job, and the lineup for the church has just been announced, and it's incredible. It includes Olivia Dean and Dry Cleaning. It's just absolutely amazing. The people that book the show are like just relentless in their search for huge global talent, and then people that are just kind of poking up above the surface. So yes, that is the last weekend in November this year, and I'm presenting again with Hugh Stevens and Annie Mac. Thank God.
You love coming down to one Dangan.
Oh, I love it so much.
Dangan Cush. So it's out today.
It's out today. I'm playing in Spin Dizzy Records at 5:30 in Georgia Street Arcade. Yep. I'm in Steamboat Records in Limerick tomorrow at 5 p.m. Music Zone in Cork next Wednesday at 5 p.m. And the big one is December 18th in Whelan's.
That's the special place, isn't it?
Yeah.
You'd be well known to you.
I did my first ever gig there 20 years ago.
Did you? Okay. Yeah. All the dates information, MayK316. What's the 316 about, by the way?
Well, it's actually a wrestling reference. It's a Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestling reference.
Is it? Are you a wrestling fan?
Huge, yeah. Yeah.
Now I know why tarot cards are so far out of your usual wheelhouse. Someone's asking here, it's a huge Fight Like Apes fan, is going, please ask Mae Kay about how some of the newer pop stars are sounding very similar to your work, Chappell Roan and so on.
Ooh,
that's an interesting
observation. Thank you to that lovely person who said that. My God, I will eat my shorts live on radio. Chappell Roan had heard Fight Like Apes before. But I would take that comparison any day of the week. Thank you so much.
That the indie used to be indie because it was outside of the mainstream. Now they've kind of stolen from the indie, haven't they? Like Harry Styles had a kind of an indie adjacent album.
Very adjacent.
Very adjacent.
Very adjacent.
The sound was there. Somebody.
Yeah, no, I like Harry Styles music.
Okay, MayK316, now that I've discovered, is
on
the
Instagram,
thing.
Yeah.
Thanks a million for coming in, and good luck with all of your tarot cards and all that sort of.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much to Adam Hogan from your show, who I've been dealing with all week, and it's been a complete pleasure.
We love Adam.
Me too.
Thanks a million. We'll chat again another time.
I hope so.
Back at someone is saying, I think tarot cards work a little bit like therapy. That's exactly what Mae Kay was saying. They help you work out what you already know. Also, and that's from Barbara as well there. The power of tarot card readers and palm readers is nothing to do with the paranormal. It's to do with the reader's ability to read people, the micro expressions and the reactions as they start from a very broad base of experience and hone it on based on your responses. As we go through life, we all experience love, loss and so on. So they just tap into that, says Tara. That makes it sound a little bit mechanical, but it is based on empathy, isn't it? It's kind of like, I'm going to wait and not judge this person who sits before me. The good ones will do that, which is Mae Kay discovered was Hannah from Realty Readings.